new sefer. Actually, it's a six volume set. Rav Osher Weiss. I'm sure everyone here knows the name of Osher Weiss.
Rav Osher
Zelig. What's his name? Osher Zelig Weiss. Rav Osher Zelig Weiss is a.
Excuse me. The Niddig in Yeshiva world is to say, hello. Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear. Yes, yes. Good morning, Harav. Yes, Dr. Shlomo Cohen Shlita. Yes.
The Niddig in the Yeshiva world is to say, Yuma, not Yema. The Maskilim came along and they said that Hebrew is Yom and Aramaic it's Yema. The problem is, I picked up a dictionary of Magdaic that spoke in Aramaic in southern Iraq, and I looked up the word. It's spelled in English letters Y-U-M-A, the way the yeshiva should work.
Yuma, the yeshiva world is correct, for a change, Unusual experience, the yeshiva world. Okay, so we're going to say it's Yuma Tova Lirabanan. That expression is used often.
And if anyone corrects you, tell them.
I'll send them to you.
But that was talking about the Masechet.
A new sefer. It's not so new anymore. It's really been around probably about 6 months. Harav of Osher Weiss. Rav Osher Weiss does not need in any shape or form my haskama. Okay, he is a goyin, he's a paisek. He's a very, very popular authority today in Klal Yisrael for many, many different, many areas of halacha. The OU, he's one of the major paiskim for the OU in their kashrus division. He makes some of the very big decisions for them. I heard that he's a very strong candidate to be the next chief rabbi, Ashkenazic chief rabbi of Eretz. Is that on the list?
No,
not anymore. Many things have changed. Okay, he's a very, very big poysik, a very big talmid chacham. He does not need my haskam. He's been giving shiurim for decades. Very choshev, well-attended shiurim. He has many, many, many sram. In fact, all of his sram are called Minchas Osher. I have at home a volume or two on the parasha. So it seems, if I'm not mistaken, is that they redid. It was redone, his Sfarim on Chumash. Either it's brand new, it's been totally redone, and he very recently put out a six-volume set on Chumash.
In English or Hebrew?
In Hebrew. Titled Minchas Osher. And the way it's written, I'm trying to spend some time on it, it sounds very much that it's basically a transcript from his oral shiurim.
Right.
Someone came along and they took the shiurim and they put it in writing and they, you know, fixed it up and they elaborated. It's been heavily edited, and also it seems they've also reflected back on some of the other things that he's done, and it's Rabbi Weiss himself promotes this, and he promotes this set very, very much. He says, you know, he put an enormous amount of effort and work into these volumes, and they're it's quite a piece of work. It's really, really extremely impressive. You don't need my haskam. So today, to give a little sampling, I want to spend some time on this week's Parashas Balak. He has in every parasha at least 15 different halachic topics. Many of these topics are halacha, lamdis, agada. It's a very nice mix of many different things. So today, to have a little of a sample, I want to discuss with you the topic of tircha d'tzibura together with gadol kavod habriyos. Okay, we're going to do, they're really two separate topics, but I'm going to try to cover two different topics in one shot. Now, when is all this? There's a lot of covered right off the bat. Let's jump to Bullock. Okay, I'm gonna jump at. By the way, this week it's unique. It's not all that common when we lane together Chukas Bullock. Okay, everyone should be aware of Rayevsky is here. The Valkyrie has arrived. We have over here a double.
I don't link the 24
But you know it on, you know, you have a photographic memory, you can lay it right now on the spot. Okay, this week, it's not that common to lay together chukas polak, and we're also going to lay matos masse. And the reason why we're laying over here chukas polak is to catch up to Eretz Yisrael, because on Shavuos, we observe 2 days Shavuos and chutz li'aretz, and the second day of Shavuos was Shabbos, so we laid aser to aser, whereas in Eretz Yisrael, the second day Shavuos was no longer Shavuos, there was no second day Shavuos. So they lay in the parsha Shavuos, so they got one parsha ahead. So for the last couple of weeks, we have been a parsha behind Eretz Yisrael. This week, we're going to catch up. And the way we're going to catch up is we're going to lay in this week 2 parshas. Last week, they laid in Eretz Yisrael Chukas, and we have not yet laid in Chukas. So this week, we're going to lay in Chukas and Bolak together in order to catch up. So right now, I want to discuss what it says in the parsha. It's Bolak and Bolak. We know right away that Bolak, Bilam, sends for Bolak. And
you see on the app, they somebody asked the question, how come they're not making it up by Matos Masse? Like,
we are. We're doing both Matos Masse this year.
No, but in Eretz Yisrael, they're also doing it together.
And we're also doing it together.
What happens normally is they said that Chukah and Eretz Yisrael, Chukah and Bolak, they never, ever blame it together. It's 2 different topics. That's the reason that they gave.
But we don't have a choice because we're anyway going to lane together.
They could have made it up on a different parsha. Matos Masse, they could have made it up by separating.
We have to make it up.
No, but they could have.
They could have combined.
They could have done Matos Masse separate.
But then we'll be behind 2 weeks.
They're not going to lay Matos Masse together.
They are.
In Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
Well, we said that they never lay Matos. Anyhow, so I didn't look, but it said in Chukas and Bolak, they never lay together for a specific reason. Stubborn parshas are...
2 different topics.
Right. That's what they said.
We would be behind... Okay, all right, let's not get...
Why did they separate Chukas and Bolak? Why did they separate Matos and Masse?
You mean in general? In a general, why in general do we lay Matos and Masse together, and we never in general we don't lay in a regular year? In a regular year we lay Matos and Masse together. Why don't we lay instead of Matos and Masse? We should lay Chukas and Bolak in a regular year instead of laying Matos and Masse. This year is not going to make a difference because we have no choice. Yeah, I think we think that in a regular year we generally need to lay together 1 week 2 parshiyos. So the one that we select to lay together is Matos and Masse. Why? Why don't we just lay together both in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz-Eretz, Chukas and Bolak? So the Eretz is because Chukas and Bolak is not the ideal candidate to lay together because they're completely 2 different topics. I think that's what Rabbi Yossi is referring to. So why don't we catch up? You're asking a very good question. So why don't we catch up immediately? Why are we waiting over here for Chukas Bolak to catch up? Why can't we catch up immediately? It's a very tough question. And one of the answers that is interesting is there's also a calculation in the Haftorah. There are certain Haftorahs, when you make a calculation, which parasha when you combine 2 parashiyos, there is a collateral damage. What's the collateral damage when you combine 2 parashiyos? There is a Haftorah that you're not going to ever lane, that you're not going to lane. So which one do you want to give the axe? There are certain Haftorahs that are more critical than other Haftorahs. Even if you have a situation where you can lay 2 parashiyos together, Chazal or the minig is not to do so immediately because of the consequence of a particular haftorah not being read, and it's critical. There are certain haftorahs that are more critical than others that it is important for us to hear what it says in the haftorah, as if we really pay attention anyway, right? But people who are very serious, who pay attention and spend time on the Haftarah, you don't want to just ignore a critical Haftarah. Okay, let's put that aside for now. Let's go to the parsha. Parsha over here talks about Bilam says to Bolak, please come, I want to hire you. How did he want to pay him? Ki chabed achabetcha me'oid. Wow, what a way to pay a person. What a way. Most people today, when they negotiate a salary, they negotiate money. money. How often do you have a situation where you negotiate kavod? What will your title become? Join us in this company. We're going to give you a very nice salary. And the person will say, I don't want to come because now I'm a partner at my firm. If I come to your firm, even though I'll make double, I'm going to make double the money. I'm only making here $5 million. If I come to your company, I'm going to make $10 million. But I can't. I can't because where I am now, I'm a partner. By you, I'm going to be an associate. Could you? This is a real thing. Could you, my people are willing to be Michael millions of dollars because they're not going to get the title of partner, and president. What?
And the
corner office. COVID is, it's this is for real. This is not a joke. COVID goes a very, very long way. So this week, Bilam says to Bog, don't worry. Ki chabed achabedcha me'oid. We're going to give you lots of COVID. It's worth it for you to come to us and work for us. We're going to give you COVID. Furthermore, after we learn, this is the most important, this Rashi is very, this is something which all the Mepharshim dwell upon, is that tirani ha'asayin, v'atel lefanai ze shalosh regalim, ulai natas lepanai ki ata gam oischa harakti v'oisa hechayesi. Rashi tells us that after the donkey gave Musa to Bilam, after the donkey gave Musa, the donkey died. The donkey died immediately. Why did the donkey die after it gave Musa to Bilam? Because no one should say, oh, this is the donkey that rebuked a human being. Even though Bilam was a Rasha, and even though Bilam wanted to use, even though Bilam was on the way to do a mission that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them not to do, even though he was engaging in the worst possible activity, still, kavod habriyos. Kavod habriyos, it's not proper that it should be said that an animal gave rebuke, would be a living example. Look, this living animal is what gave Musar to a human being. After everything is said and done, an animal is an animal, and a human being is a human being, and it's a disgrace that an animal should rebuke a human being, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about that the animal should die immediately. That's how great we're machshiv, the kavod of a human being. The words of Rashi are, v'yata m'nei shedibra shedibra v'hoichi chachtecha v'lo yechol to lamod v'toi chachto k'mo yishakos v'yemar loy harakti shelo yamu zohi shesolko es bilam v'toi chachto v'lo yechol hashiv shechos hamokoim al kivoid habriyos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion upon the dignity of his creatures. It's not proper. This animal should be a reminder that an animal rebuked a human being, even though it was correct in what it did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the life of this animal. Here we come across this principle of Kivoid Habriyah. So here Rabbi Weiss, Rav Asher Weiss, goes into a long discussion about Kivoid Habriyah. He brilliantly takes note that in Shas, there are exactly six examples of where Chazal flexed their muscles and applied the principle of Kavod Habriyos. Number one, a person walking in the street on Shabbos and discovers that his tzitzis are pasul. So he's now wearing a garment that has four corners and does not have kosher tzitzis. He is in violation of a mitzvah saseh. He's wearing a garment that has four corners and does not have kosher tzitzis. What is he to do? What is he to do? So the halacha is, he is allowed to continue walking. Really, he should take off the garment and he'll be naked in the middle of the street. Okay, another example is, I didn't really prepare all that well, all the details. Another example, the person is walking in the street and he becomes aware that the garment he is wearing is shatnez. He's not allowed to wear shatnez. Lo yisaseh, take off the garment. So generally in these two cases, under certain conditions, a person is allowed to continue wearing the garment, under certain conditions because of gadol kovod habriyos, especially if the situation is such where it's only in a kilayim dirabonon, or where he's carrying, let's say he's wearing a garment that does not have kosher tzitzis. So it comes out now that he's not, if the tzitzis are not kosher, he is carrying in the Rishus HaRabim. So being the Bezman HaZeh, it's very hard to find the real Rishus HaRabim Do'iraisa. Most of our streets today are only a Carmelis. You don't have all of the conditions to make them into a Rishus HaRabim Do'iraisa. And let's say we're dealing with a situation where the Shatnez is only a Shatnez D'Rabbanon. So then because of the principle of Gadol Kavod HaBriyos, it would be a disgrace for a person to take off his clothing in the middle of the street and be naked and be embarrassed. Chazal allowed him to continue to be in violation of an Isser Dirabonon in order to spare himself from shame. Okay, other examples include a person is the Beis Hakise. A person is in the Beis Hakise and he needs to clean himself. And the only thing available are stones that have not been designated before Shabbos. So the stones are muksa, and muksa is an iser dirabanan. In order to preserve a person's dignity, kavod habriyos, he's allowed, under certain conditions, to move the stones. Okay, another example. Let's say a person, there's a dead body, and the dead body is in the hot, scorching sun, and the body is becoming disgusting. It is decaying, it is rotting. So under certain conditions, a person is permitted to move the dead body on Shabbos in order to preserve the dignity of the body. And last example is halacha. If an ovel is coming home from the cemetery, they bury the dead body right before Shabbos begins, and they're coming home, and the ovel is traveling in a certain location, and it's a Beis HaPras, and there's a concern that there is Tumas Meis. The Kohanim are permitted to escort an ovel in an area where there is Tumas Meis, under certain conditions, where it's only Tumah Midrabanan, even though they will become contaminated, in order to preserve the dignity of the person who is now in Avelus. These are the general, look, I ran very quickly, but these are the general. No. I don't think it's in the Gemara. It could be that's not in the Gemara. That could be an extrapolation, which I want to get to in a second.
The difference is, you tell him that there's a remedy for that. If he doesn't know, you tell him to get dressed first, and then you tell him
You don't tell, but you don't know what's good for you.
To my grandfather, that's why I know the, you know.
What you don't know is good for you.
He used to tell the story that they told him, you know, guy woke him up in the middle of the night, told him to get dressed.
What you don't know is good for you. Okay, let's just review very quickly. He points out over here that among there are only six cases where the Gemara uses the term kvoid habriyos in Shas. And from the six cases, they can be reduced to four. And it comes out that the four are, it's a very interesting observation, there are four different dimensions mentioned in Shas of Kavod HaBriyos. Number one, the dead. The Kavod HaBriyos is not for the living. There is a dead body, and the body is decomposing in the hot sun. The Gemara says you can take the body is muksa, and under ordinary circumstances it will be categorically forbidden to move the body, but because the dead body is decomposing, you can bend the law, you can violate Isurei Dirabanan to take the body out of the sun in order that it should not decompose. And the term the Gemara uses is Kavoid HaBriyos. Now wait a minute. Kavoid HaBriyos, ordinarily we would think, applies to the living. This is not the living. The person is no longer alive. The person is dead. The body is dead. You see from this principle, Kavoid HaBriyos is a principle that applies even to a body after the body is no longer alive, after a person, even though he's not alive. Now maybe you'll argue, it's not for the body, it's for the living, it's for the relatives. They should not feel the pain to see their relative decompose in the hot sun. Esach, it doesn't say that. It seems that the Iker Kvoid Hameis, what will be an Afkamina, let's say it's a Ger. A Ger She'ein Lo Yarsha. No one's mourning over this body. It's just the Ger Tzedek. A Ger Tzedek has no relatives. His body is decomposing in the hot sun. There's no exception. The halacha is you're allowed to take the body of the Ger Tzedek, who has no relatives, out of the hot sun so that it should not decompose. You see from this is that the principle of Kavod Abrios applies to a human being even after death, that his body should not be in a state of disgust. Number two.
I think the answer is in the terminology that you're using. It doesn't say Kavod HaAdam. Kavod HaBrios is that God created his Abriya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
And even if the body is no longer alive, that's also right. That is a revelation.
The way
that
you would call it.
It's a revelation that the concept of Kavod HaBrios is not limited to the living. The concept of Kavod HaBrios applies even to the body of a human being that was created in the Tzelem Elohim. Number two, in the Beis HaKisei. In the Beis HaKisei, there's no one there. No one sees the person. The person is all alone. All alone. No one is being embarrassed. There's no shame. A person is in the field. He does his needs. He has to go to the Beis HaKisei. He now wants to cleanse himself. He doesn't feel complete as long as he is in a state of being unclean. Chazal said that is also called Kavod HaBrios. You are entitled to feel clean and good about yourself. If you are going to be in a state where there is filth upon your body, you are entitled to be permitted to clean yourself, even though it involves Isurei Derabanan. That is also included in the principle of Kavod HaBrios. In other words, the classic example of Kavod HaBrios is when a person is naked. We're going to allow him to continue wearing shatnes. We're going to allow him to continue wearing a garment whose tzitzis is not kosher and not require him to take off his talis. Because if he's going to take off his talus, take off the shatnez, he's going to be naked. Oh, he's naked. You're dealing with his emotions. You're dealing with his mental state. That is the classic example of Kavod HaBrios. I am a person. I don't want to be embarrassed in front of everyone else. I'm in a room. Everyone has dignity. Everyone is dressed. If I'm going to have to take off my clothing because I'm wearing the shatnez, if I'm going to have to take off my clothing because one of my tzitzis is puzzle, I'm going to be embarrassed. Shame. That is the classic example of Godel Kavod HaBrios Shedoicha Loisaseh Shebetoira. But we have to appreciate that in the Gemara, Kavod HaBrios extends even when you're all alone, no one is watching you, you're out in the field, person went to the Beis HaKisei, and now the issue is he able to clean himself properly? And the only way he can do so is by taking stones, which are ordinarily muksa, lifting them up, being in blatant violation of the laws of Muksa, in order that he should feel good about himself, that he is now clean. Yes, that is also called Kavod HaBrios. Now you have to appreciate, it doesn't, some will argue and they'll say to you, people will say to you, no, the reason why Chazal allowed a person to go take stones at a Muksa in the field and clean himself is because it's going to come Lidei Sakana. Today we're too smart, and we know that if a person does not properly clean himself after he goes to the Beis HaKisei, it's going to allow bacteria to grow and develop, and he's going to get sick. He's going to get sick. It doesn't seem that's the reason. It may be true. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. All depends on the situation. How much time left is until Shabbos is over. I don't know what the situation is. But that does not seem from the Gemara. The Gemara seems to say that's not the issue. The issue is not a health issue. It's an issue of dignity. Right now, I'm healthy. The filth being where it is, it's not going to make a difference to my health. Shabbos will be over very shortly. I'll be able to clean myself. My health will not change one bit. It's not a health issue. It's a matter of feeling good about myself, feeling that I am clean. Dignity. And yet, and the Gemara says, yes, Godel Kavod HaBrios, a person is entitled to that dignity. Again, case number three, a whole new world, is a dead body. and the dead body does not appear, it's because of the family, they're suffering the shame that their relative is decaying in the hot sun. That does not appear to be the issue. The issue is, a body is created in the Tselem Elohim, and although the person is no longer among the living, it's not proper that a human being, after he dies, his body should decay in such a fashion. Gadol Kavod Habriyos. And the last case is the case of an Ovel, a mourner. The case of an Ovel is a very fascinating concept. An Ovel is not in a state of disgrace. Okay, he's not naked. An Ovel, his body is not decaying. He's perfectly clean. He is in a vulnerable state of mind. He lost one of his relatives. He's on the way home from a cemetery. He needs chizuk. Today, that's the key word in this generation. The key word in this generation is chizuk. Everyone is searching for chizuk. He needs chizuk. And Chazal said, if he's going to get chizuk, the Kohanim are going to be in violation of going over a Beis HaPras. There is an area that there's a suffix, if it's metame mace, if the Kohanim are allowed to go there, and Minat Torah, they are allowed to go there, but Midrabanan, they're not allowed to go there. The Kohanim are permitted to escort the Ovel in this area where ordinarily they may not do so, because Godol Kavod Habriyos. What's the Kavod Habriyos? His body is not decaying. He's perfectly clean. He's not naked. We learn from here a new principle of Godol Kavod Habriyos regarding an Ovel. A person who is in mourning over the loss of a relative, he is in a delicate state of mind, especially in Avelus. And here again, Chazal came in and applied this principle of Godol Kavod Habriyos. So far, what have we done over here? Rabbi Weiss, what has he done over here? First of all, he has analyzed the entire Talmud Bavli, which is a feat in and of itself. Okay, I don't know how he did that. Part of a lot of the stuff I imagine is done also with the computer, the Itzah Chochmah. And there are only, in Shas, exactly six sugyos where the Gemara mentioned explicitly the principle of Kavod Habriyos, where it's doiche in Isser Dirabanan, and the Isser Dirabanan is called the Daraisa because of Loi Sosuru Mikol Asher Yomu Lecha Yominu Smol Loi Sosur Mikol Asher Yomu Lecha. When it comes to an Isser Dirabanan, six different examples are presented in the Talmud of Gadol Kavod Habriyos. Rabbi Weiss takes these six and notices that three of them are really the same, and he breaks it down from six, he breaks it down into four different concepts of Gadol Kavod Habriyos: nakedness, a dead body, an Ovel, and the Beis HaKiseh. Four very different, each one is a world to itself, they have nothing in common with one another. Dignity of a human being in being naked, in being in a vulnerable state of avelus, immediately after the burial of a dead body, a relative. A concept of coming out of a Beis HaKiseh, being in a state of uncleanliness. And, as we said, the first one, and a dead body. A dead body decomposing in the sun. Then he goes, and then the bulk of the rest of the article, which we're not going to go into much detail, is he asks a question. It's a very, very, this is a very, like, this is like a pesek, the way the mind, you get an insight into the mind of a pesek. And that is, and this is a very general question which you can ask in any sugya in Shas. When Chazal tell you concepts, and they give you rules, do you have a right to extrapolate from what it says in the Gemara and apply it to new modern questions that arise? The Gemara only gave six examples. That's it. Six. It's a big deal you're dealing. You're dealing over here with permission to be oiker, to uproot an Isser Derabanan. You're not allowed to do that. If the rabbis come along and they tell you you're not allowed to do something, muksa is muksa. If something is muksa, it's muksa. If a dead body is muksa, it's muksa. If a stone is muksa, it's muksa. Who gives you the right to move a dead body? Who gives you the right to go move a stone to clean yourself after coming out of the Beis HaKiseh? Well, guess what Chazal did? Oh, but they told you it's muksa. They prohibited muksa and they permitted muksa. Are you allowed to take that concept of Godol Kavod HaBriyos and apply it to examples, situations that are not in the Gemara? And what he does is he goes through rabbinic literature, responsa, she'elos u'tshuvos, some of the very popular Gedolei Yisrael, who did just that. So the question, the question is, what are the rules? Because many times we have a principle: wherever Chazal gave you permission to violate an Isser Derabanan or an Isser Deraisa, Dailcha, Adkan, you have no right to extrapolate and take a principle and apply it to a new situation. When yes and when no. You need to have very broad shoulders. When do you have the right to say such a thing? The Rabbanan put into play many halachas. In very limited and very specific situations, do they give you permission to violate those halachas? Who gives you the right, and when do you have the right to extrapolate and do make exceptions in other examples? So let me give you some examples where the acharoinim, modern day poskim, or not so modern day, let's go talk about for the last 500 years, have come along and have been presented with difficult questions and have paskined muta. It is permitted for you to do this because of Godol Kavod HaBriyos. And it's shocking almost because, excuse me, who says that Godol Kavod HaBriyos operates in this example? Let me give you some really outrageous cases.
What is this difference would be like, let's say, in the Paschal about the Beis Din, for whom's money, to whom, whatever, from the ox got a...
So it depends, you're right.
They're applying some rules.
So you are correct. You are correct. That's the big dilemma. When are the cases that we decide today similar enough to the original laws where we're very comfortable extrapolating and making a decision to questions that arise that have literally nothing to do with what Chazal, what we find in the examples, but yet, when do you have a right to make that leap? That is what a posek has lose a sleep overnight. That's exactly what you're right. You talk about different cases in the money. People come into court, there's a fight. Okay, I invested in this company and he invested in that company and then it turned into a shell company and it turned into this. And you're dealing over here with outrageous cases of modern law, international law, Din de Malchus Adina, but they're dealing with two Jews and they made conditions and they have corporations. There's no such thing as a corporation, Chazal. There's no such thing as a corporation. In Chazal, there's no such thing as limited liability. There's no such thing as there are a lot of different economic systems that are in play today. That where do you see this in the Gemara? What right do you have to go and take a sugya in Bava Kamba, Mitzvah Babastra, and extrapolate? Well, maybe yes. There really is no difference. They're similar enough. It's exactly the same thing. Business is business.
Which really is. That's
why
it's totally connected.
So that's also a factor. That's also what you're saying is also true. You're right. These are very difficult things. And this is exactly what Poiskim, this is the issue that Poiskim grapple with every single day. A question presents itself, a crackpot. What is a crackpot? How does the world of halacha deal with a crackpot? There's no crackpot in the Gemara. So you have to extrapolate. How do you deal with electricity? What is electricity? Explain to me, how does electricity work? How does it work? So my own great-grandfather, he was one of the first poskim on electricity. He paskin that it's osur, it's esh, Today, no one accepts that. No one accepts that today that electricity is no one. No one. The Chazanir says boine. Boine. No one accepts that either. Okay, and also they talk about electrons. How does electricity even work? The average person has no clue, even people who think they know, have no clue how electricity really works. How it really works.
That's why they say
you need to know the Mitzvahs.
Why did you? Because he lives and comes out now. He sees it right now. He sees the microwave. He sees that. He comes
you need to know.
He sees it all. Moshe Rabbeinu never saw it.
You need to know how to extrapolate. So when it comes to Godol Kovod HaBriyos is an extreme example of extrapolation, and you need extremely broad shoulders in order to take a leap, a quantum leap, to go from four limited concepts in the Talmud to come up with outrageous examples today and say, oh, God will cover HaBriyos, you can be over on an Isser Dirabanan. For example, here's some really wild cases. A woman, a young girl, let's say she wasn't very religious, or maybe Rahman al-Assam, something happened, and she lived with someone, and she had a baby. Or she had an abortion. They had a baby, the baby died, or the baby was born, and she gave the baby away. She was Choyzeh B'Shuva, she became a real Beis Yaakov girl, and they introduced her to this Yeshiva Bachar, Ma'ishaya, and the boy marries her. And then they have a baby. And the Chassan, the husband, really believes in his mind that this baby is a Bachar. He doesn't know that when she was 14 years old, she had a baby, and the baby died. The baby was given away. Maybe she had an abortion. He doesn't know that when she was 14, 15, 16, what's so far-fetched? Just how this happens. And now she's 18, 20, 22, 25. She gets married. She never told him. Maybe even her own parents don't even know what happened. And now, but there's a rabbi who knows. This boy marries her. They have a baby, a healthy baby. And they're now about to do Pidyon HaBen. So what's so terrible, Pidyon HaBen? Big deal. So you have some money. The Shaila of Gezel, But the big problem really is the problem of making a bracha levatola. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. There are a few bracha. You make how many bracha? You make three bracha. Baruch Pei Hagafen is not a bracha levatola. You make a Baruch Pei Hagafen. Shechayanu, no, it's not a. You can't say it's just a bracha. They have a baby. You have a baby. Make a Shechayanu. It's not a bracha levatola. But you make a bracha on Pidyon HaBen. It's not even so posh why you should make a bracha Pidyon HaBen, because it's totally das acherim. Okay, we make a bracha. A bracha Pidyon HaBen is a bracha levatala. Is that a nisr deraisa or a nisr derabana? It's not. He brings that over here poiskim. You would say off the bat that it's nisr deraisa. Is it deraisa? You say Hashem Shem levatala loisisus deaseres adibros. I'm not familiar with the sugya. He brings down the poiskim that said that making a bracha in this situation would be an iser derabana. It would not necessarily be an iser deraisa. Okay, I don't know the lumnis, but that's what he says. Let's take it at that. So if she will now go and tell her husband, I want to tell you a little secret. Before I married you, something happened, and I had a baby. It's not going to go off well. And it's going to be a busha for the families. It's going to be a big, big busha. So he cites over here, the poskim dealt with the shaila, Godol kovod habriyos. Just don't ask, don't tell. Yeah, come, Pidyon HaBen. Godol kovod habriyos. Shedoiche loisase shebetoira. Which Loisase refers to an Issa Derabanan, Shadnez Derabanan, all of the examples have to be a Derabanan. Let's say you could finagle that a bracha levatola would be a bracha. What will you paskin? Now, the first question, the first issue is, wait a minute, who gives you the right to take six examples, the concept of Godel Kovod HaBriyos only appears in Shas six times. And those six examples can be broken down into four categories: a dead body, a person who is naked, an ovel who is in a vulnerable state of mind, and what was the fourth example? And Beis HaKise. A woman had a baby boy, and she wants, they want to go on, and the husband is all excited. And now there's going to be embarrassment. Where does the Godol cover Habriyos in this woman and her Shalom Bayis and her family's Busha fit into the four categories that are mentioned in the Gemara? We're not dealing with a dead body. We're not dealing with someone who's naked. We're not dealing with an ovel. And we're not dealing with going to the Beis HaKise.
We're dealing with the state of mind.
So what do you say? So you say it goes into the ovel.
Right.
To the ovel. You need grace to places to do such a thing. You need Enochanami. It's not so posh.
And there is a solution.
What's the solution?
Just say she had a miscarriage.
Right, okay, you're right. But I guess the situation is such, you're right, it's tough.
She had a baby 9 months after they got married.
It's tough. There are many situations where you don't have a pinyan aben, you're right, and they're, you know, even if you have forceps, some say that if the doctor uses forceps to pull the baby out, there's no pinyan aben. I don't think we pass like that. But some they won't make a bracha because of that. All right. You're right, okay, it is. Okay, there's another classic, the Ramah never lived, they never let the Ramah live this time. The Hiluk Ramah, everyone knows the story, the Hiluk Ramah. Rav Moshe Isserles, what was the Maisa where they never let him live it down, is where there was a Yesoima, and he was marrying her off. It was very common in Krakow to get married Erev Shabbos, and the girl was a Yesoima. And the Chassan was about to marry her. And yet, at the very last minute, a fight broke out, something about money. They promised him more money, and they're not giving what they promised him, and the fight broke out. And the Ramah made it, and he didn't want to marry her, and they had to make Shalom Bayis right away in order the wedding would proceed. The Ramah made an assessment that if I don't settle this right now, from my experience, they will never get married. The wedding will be off. If we settle it right now, they'll get married, but we're not going to be able to find the solution at the moment. It's going to take a little negotiation. and it will have to do the wedding Friday night. They'll be delayed Shabbos night. The Hareyat Mikudesh Asli will take place after whatever it was, make-believe Tzeis HaKoy Chavim, when it's already Shabbos Kodesh. And the halacha is, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos. Why not? It's a transaction. Mekach u'memkar. You may come to write something down. There's a halacha. You don't get married Shabbos night on Shabbos.
Or gezeiros.
Gezeiros. Takana de rabbanan. Because I think you may come to write things down. You may come like having a party. You don't have a list. There are different takanas. You're not. There's an isur de rabbanan. The Ramah was mafalpel back and forth what to do, and he passed, and part of the answer was Godol Kovoid Habriyos. If this girl does not get married now, it's going to be a very big busha for her. It's going to be bizyonos. There's going to be questions. What's going to be? That was part of the equation to be matir, the Isur Drabonon of not getting married on Shabbos. Godol Kovoid Habriyos. And the Ramah took it upon himself to do it. He did it. He married them off Friday night, and they never forgave him. He had tzoras from this psak halacha the rest of his life. They challenged him, Shloi kahalacha. You're not, under no condition are you allowed to get married Friday night. He felt, he paskined, it was permitted, he did it himself. And part of the equation in the tshuva is Godol Kavod Habriyos. Now, wait a minute. Godol Kavod Habriyos, which is Rabbi Weiss speaking, in which category? Which category? Is she an ovel? Is she dead? Is she naked? Is she, what was the fourth case? is the Beis Akisei? No. You know, Chazal gave you four very specific examples, and the mind is very complicated. We don't know how the mind works. When a person comes out of the Beis Akisei, there's a concept called Godel Kavod Abrius. He's in a certain frame of mind if he's not clean. So Chazal Ma takes stones. He goes on to show throughout the ages, he goes through a lot of tshuvas. Some of the tshuvas are too complicated for me to understand, but he goes through all different tshuvas, is where he shows examples where the modern, you don't call it modern, but Paiskim in the last 500 years, maybe even more, have taken the liberty of taking a principle in the Gemara of Godel Kavod Abrius and extracting it and implying it to situations where there's bizyonis, but it's not in the category, it's a different type of bizyonis in the Gemara. Okay, let's leave that for a moment. Let me just go to another sugya me'ilim very, very quickly, and that is part of the concept of Godel Kavod Abrius, is a different topic entirely, I just want to run out of time, is the concept of Tircha Ditzibur. There is a principle in many different examples in Halacha where you're not allowed to do something to the Tzibur that involves Tircha. For example, a Gabbai has an obligation to roll the Sefer Torah before davening, and not, if there's more than one Sefer Torah, even one Sefer Torah, it should be prepared because of Tircha Ditzibur. A person is not allowed to, as a Rav, he's not allowed to daven a very long Shemoneh Esrei for no good reason because of Tircha Ditzibura. Mm-hmm. You have examples on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol. On Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol would read only from one Sefer Torah, and he would read the parasha of Acharei Mois, and then when it came to the Kurbanos, he would read the parasha of the Kurbanos Baal Peh. The Kohen Gadol and the Beis HaMikdash would not roll the Sefer Torah from Acharei Mois to Parshas Pinchas. He would say it Baal Peh, Gemara, Tircha Ditzibur. Okay, there are many, many examples.
Like you,
sorry?
Yeah.
So what don't you say? You wait until Mincha Shabbos. You delay saying, I thought you said you don't say by Uvol, I was wondering, you delay saying the Uvol Litzian Gol by Shachris, you push it off to Mincha because of Tircha Ditzibura. You're not allowed to lay more than three Aliyos Shabbos Mincha, and during it because of Tircha Ditzibura. Why? What's the Tircha Ditzibura? So everyone, all the poets can say the same thing. What is the lomdus of Tircha Ditzibura? It's synonymous with Kvoid Hatzibur. Tircha Ditzibura, why do they use that term Tircha, trouble? What is the trouble? What, you're telling a person to give money? You're telling the person to do something, to lift heavy weights? Honor, kovod. It's not honorable, it's not a kovod for the Tzibur to wait for you. It's not a kovod to go tell the Tzibur to delay. And he writes over here, what's so shocking, he brings many examples of Kavod HaTzibur. He gives Kavod HaTzibur, even the shortest amount of time. For example, there's a halacha that before you make the bracha on the Torah, when you make the bracha, Birchas HaTorah, what do many of us do? You open up the Sefer Torah, the Baal Kriya, he shows you the place, and you don't close it. You keep it opened, and you turn your face to the left, and you close your eyes, you turn to the left, and you say the brachas. What's the danger of doing so? So no one should say that the brachas are written in the Torah. So why don't you close the Sefer Torah? No, you don't want to close the Sefer Torah. So one of the reasons given by the person is because of Tircha Ditzibura. What? The Baal Kriya showed you the place. Here it is. Vayidaber, top of the page. It's a Tircha Ditzibura to wait, close it, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, and when you finish the brachas, to open it up and to find the place once again on the top of the page. That's called Tircha Ditzibura. How
many times has it happened that they did close up and then Bakar's
winning? Yeah, it happens to be every Shabbos.
It's already on the wrong
Okay, but even if it's in the wrong place, it's not like you have to wait 10 minutes to be goel from the Zoysa Bracha to Bereshis. The amount of time to go find the place once again. We're dealing with a very, very short amount of time. If the Baal Kriya is an experienced Baal Kriya, I mean, if he's not experienced, it's going to be a disaster, and no matter what's going to happen, okay? It's going to be a joke. The whole lane's going to be a joke. The Baal Kriya prepared. The amount of time to close the Sefer and open the Sefer Torah is literally seconds. Literally seconds. That's called Tircha D'Tzibur? So my wife says, yeah. Tircha D'Tzibur doesn't mean a 10-minute pause. You have to understand how Chazal are psychologists. Any slight pause, even the slightest pause for a second, also it explains it's not a matter of tircha, it's covered. It's a certain dignity. You're in motion. To have pauses, breaks, here, there. If the tzibur is choshev in your eyes, if there's covered to the tzibur, there's no pause. Tircha de tzibura is not tircha. It's called kavod. And the Pais Kim, all the Pais Kim brings down different Pais Kim and say it's not the tircha of the tzibur is not the tircha of the tzibur. It is the kavod of the tzibur. And the question is, can the tzibur be meichel on their kavod? Rav Moshe, the fasting shuvah, Rav Moshe finds it. Rav Moshe is not machi. He doesn't have an answer. He doesn't know what the answer is. It happens all the time. You take out the gabbai. Yes, Rav Baruch the Shaila. Is it true? He brings down the whole Sefer Moshe. First, they take out the Sefer Torah. And they take it to the Bima, and then they realize, they took out the wrong Sefer Torah. They took out, it's Parashas Bereishis. Yesterday was Zeus HaBracha, and the person who did Psicha, he took out the wrong Sefer Torah. So they already took it, they're already holding it by the Bima, they put it down on the Bima in all, there are many different scenarios. Did they already put it on the Bima? Did they close the Arayin? Let's discuss the worst scenario possible. They put the Sefer Torah down on the Bima. And they realize they took out the wrong Sefer Torah. So what's the Shaila? What are the two issues? What is fighting against the other? To put back the Sefer Torah, it's called Pogamoy Shal Sefer Torah. It's an insult to the Sefer Torah. You're saying to the Sefer Torah, you're no good. People are going to think in the shul that it's possible. There's something wrong with it. It's called Pogamoy, and that's a Dover Chomer Admoid. Mitzat Sheni, if you have a choshev olam in the shul, it's tircha de tzibur, covered of the tzibur. You're going to go wait now 10 minutes to be gold the Sefer Torah. Everyone's going to start schmoozing and talking. Tircha de tzibur. So Rav Moshe basically he says they're equal. He writes over there. Rav Moshe says he's not machuya. He says that the tzibur should be moichel on their covered. He says the tzibur. He writes the tzibur in this example should, I don't know how you do it. They should make a statement and say we're not going to tolerate the pogamah shel sefer Torah, and the tzibur should declare we're moichel on our kavod. In other words, Rav Moshe is working with the principle that tircha, if you would say tircha de tzibur is not totally in kavod, then it's no mechila. You're not allowed to be matriach the tzibur. But if tircha, you don't find a heter of being moichel on tircha. Kavod, this rabbinic literature where can a father be moichel? Can a rabbi be moichel? Can a melech be moichel? Kavod is something you can be moichel. You can be moichel on kavod. So the tzibur in this situation where they took the Sefer Torah out, the tzibur should be moichel. And then he gets into the question, but what about on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol is laning from the Sefer Torah, and it comes now to lane the Maftir. He's not goylel because of tircha de tzibur. So let the tzibur be moichel. There, it's not a tzibur, it's Klal Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael comes to listen to the Melech, even though it's not possible, the whole Klal Yisrael, but there's a chilek between the kovod of the Klal Yisrael versus the kovod of a tzibur. There are different madregas of kovod. There's kovod for a yochid, there's kovod for a tzibur, and there's kovod for the whole Klal Yisrael.
But there's also by your kid, the tircha of your Kohen Gadol, he's weak. he would be very strenuous.
It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It says that it's the covet of the tzibur, of the tircha of the tzibur, for them to wait for him.
There's
to
a few things he doesn't do because it's tircha and it's
tircha. I have to see the exact words, But the basic idea is that the yisoid is when it comes to the tzibur, there are different madregas of covets of the yachid. We know that when it comes to getting an aliyah, there are many different times that a person has the power to be meichel on his covet. He meichel on your covet, and you can allow someone who's greater than you to go in front of you. But the tzibur, you need the entire tzibur to be meichel on their covet. Klal, there are certain things that they cannot be meichel on. Klal Yisrael cannot be meichel on its covet. The Kohen Gadol has a din of Yom HaKippurim, when they come to listen, that is a din of Klal Yisrael, there's no mechila. Tzibur, they can't be meichel. An individual, certainly there's a church that can be meichel. Tircha de Tzibura is even a single second. All right, and then he gets into the topic, is there such a concept of covet abrios by Goyim? That's also a very big concept. Do we find the principle of Gadol covet abris even by Goyim? So that's a big shiloh, different. All right, we'll stop with this. Rabbi Cohen, have a wonderful day. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Cohen. I have to step out.
It's a battery.
Oh, okay.
Battery. Got some ice to pack this up.
Somehow, so this, how the times they're calculating this end of Shabbos.
Shabbos, I can have a look at it.
No laser, what's the answer? What's the answer, laser?
That's a fish.
Gornish?
Coat, yeah, really.
You have a raincoat?
A raincoat?
You didn't bring the umbrella?
Nope, nothing.
Okay.